Welcome to the Path to Podcast Success. My name is Evan Johnson, and I want to share with you how to develop and maintain a successful podcast. My guests and I will discuss all things podcasting and how your podcast can become an essential part of your business. That means more revenue, better relationships with your audience, and so much more. If you haven't already, check out our website at ipodcastedit.com and enter your email address to get each episode delivered directly to your inbox, along with some other free information I'm sure you'll find useful. Get ready to turn on your mic and join me on the path to podcast success.
All right, everybody, welcome to this week's episode of the Path to Podcast Success. My guest this week is Ariana Sylvester, and I had a lot of fun talking with her this week. She went from reluctant spouse to successful entrepreneur by building not one, not two, but three successful businesses, which have enabled both her and her husband to leave their jobs in their early 30s, which I think is pretty incredible. She now partners with her husband to help others achieve financial freedom via their Lifestyle Builders podcast, coaching programs, and upcoming book. Keep an eye out for that. So, introducing Ariana Sylvester.
Hi, Ariana. Thank you so much for being willing to come on the show today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited.
I'm excited too. And so I wanted to ask you the same question that I always like to ask my guests in the beginning, and that is, what was your biggest fear of podcasting when you were first starting out, and did that fear end up coming true?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think my biggest fear when we first started, now keep in mind that the podcast we have now is the second podcast we've had since we've been in business. So way back in our first podcast, I think my biggest fear was, I would have to say, like, sounding like I didn't know what I was talking about when we were on a show. So we used to have like really extensive show notes because I was so worried about like, oh, well, we have to make sure we hit all these talking points and make sure that the podcast flows the way that it should. And there's all those worries, you know, as you're first getting into it. Like, oh, we have to make sure people are getting value out of this and all of those outside pressures, I think. So that was my fear, was like, our podcast would come out and people would listen and think that we had absolutely no clue what we were talking about.
Right. And so what happened with that? Did that come true, or did you do know what you were talking about?
No, it did not come true at all. People really liked our show when it first came out. I mean, not as much as we wanted to, of course, where they were like shouting it from the rooftops, but people who found us really did enjoy it. But they did say that one of the things that they wanted more of was our personalities. So being that we were first timers and we did have those extensive show notes, like, you know, you could hear it on the other end that we were going from topic to topic and like keeping it on track and trying to be very professional about it. And if you listen to our podcast now, you'll see that that is completely not at all how we run it anymore. I mean, our show notes are just like three bullet points for us to remember. Here's the transformation or the things that we want people to get out of it at the end of the show. But Tom and I very much just talk back and forth. We go on side tangents and tell stories and all sorts of things. And I think we're very much more comfortable now because we've been doing it for so long, that worry was completely unfounded. We did not sound like we didn't know what we were talking about.
That's usually how it goes, is people will have a fear. They don't know what they're going to talk about. They're going to sound dumb or no one's going to care or listen. And then that never actually comes true.
No. I think it's a lot of that imposter syndrome because you're listening to other people's podcasts. So you're hearing how they do it and how much people love those shows. Most of the time it's, of course, like big name podcasts, because when you ask what shows you should listen to in Facebook groups and anywhere else, they give you like, there's like a list of 10 that you'll see in most Facebook groups where everyone's like, you should listen to these people. And they've all been doing it for years and they have a very distinct style and they know what they're talking about. They've got it niched down. So I think when you're just getting started, it's really easy to look at those people and think, oh, I have to sound like them. When that is not the case at all. You want to sound like you, because people on the other end are going to hear it if you're trying to be somebody else or to kind of like copycat someone else's show. You really have to make it your own. And to do that, you have to trust in yourself and what you know. And you have to trust that people are going to be attracted to your personality and your style without worrying about those other people out there.
Okay. And when, at one point did that kind of start to become a reality for you? Because I know when you first started your podcast, you were intense with the show notes, making sure you're on track, as you said. So what was there, like a specific turning point, or was it just kind of over time you got more comfortable with the podcast? How did that transition?
Yeah. So I think there was, it's a couple fold. The first podcast we ran was back in 2015. It started that fall. We kind of ran it through until the spring. And then we decided this isn't what we wanted it to be. It's not kind of having the effect that we wanted to have. And the brand itself was not what we wanted. So we decided to put the podcast on hiatus. And we went through some changes in our brand and what we were offering and all of that. So I think the turning point came for us when we really hit on who the right people were that we were trying to help, and getting a lot clearer around our brand and our values, our mission. Like, what are we here to do and who are we here to help ultimately? So that when we hit on that brand, we actually waited. We thought about starting another podcast, and then we're like, you know what? Let's wait. Let's make sure that all of this feels right. It's the right fit. We have everything kind of figured out on the back end. So we actually hit on that brand in the fall of 2017, I want to say, and then decided to start the podcast in later in the spring in 2018. So we waited a little bit of time. Decided, is this the right thing to do? Is this the right time to start it? And that time it was a lot different because I think we both felt so sure that this is the brand and we have our messaging very clear this time around. We know who we're helping. We know why we're helping them and how we're helping them. So it made transitioning back into the podcasting game a lot easier.
Okay. And I wanted to ask something that it's interesting, especially with you and Tom, because you guys are a couple doing it together. Was it one of you that was that first broached the subject of potentially starting a podcast, or did you both kind of have the idea together and want to start it? Like, were one of you kind of unsure about having a podcast at the beginning?
Hi. Yes, it was, of course, as always, Tom's idea to start a podcast way back when our brand was still Serial Startups. And he kind of just threw it out there like, hey, we're rebranding. We're going to do this and let's start a podcast. And I was like, I didn't listen to podcasts. So I was like, okay, whatever. What is that? Tell me what we would do. So that's like, he broached the idea, decided that that's what we were going to try. And actually, funnily enough, I think it was harder for him to get into podcasting than it was for me, because if you go back and listen to our very first podcast ever, like the intro episode of Serial Startups, super awkward.
Oh, it always is.
And I think it was, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, this just felt more comfortable to me. Maybe because I was involved in like the arts and theater, and I sing when I was in high school and kind of up through college, and I'm still now, I sing in a choir. For me, I guess it just felt a little bit more natural to like be in front of a microphone and just kind of go. Whereas for Tom, he had to kind of get used to talking without being taught, like without talking to an actual person in front of us. He was just talking to me. And sometimes he would get really like tripped up and we would have to stop and restart and just kind of like, if there's an awkward silence, just continue.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah. And that's the case with everyone. I mean, episode one is always super awkward and super cringy. And, but you know, I always tell people that you have to start with episode one to get to, you know, episode 10 and episode 100 when it sounds a lot better. It's really unavoidable.
Sure. It really is. And I think you want that because you want people to see your progression through as well. Like that's a really cool thing for your audience and your hopefully potential customers to hear. You're human. you can go back and see how they've grown and evolved through their podcast and their business. And I think that only helps people be able to relate to you better, that you're an actual human being on the other end of the mic, than if you come off as polished and professional every time you show up.
Right. And so there's something else I wanted to ask you, and that is that I know that you guys, your podcast is a pretty big part of your brand, right? And so I see sometimes on Facebook, sometimes I see Tom like comment on podcast related posts, like answering questions and stuff. Mm-hmm. How do you do that as well? How involved are you in like the podcast process? Like, are you, how involved are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty involved. The podcast is actually one of the things that has become part of my role, like it's under my umbrella in the business. So podcast topics, like preparing for the ones that we're going to record, bringing guests on, making sure that we're prepared to interview the guests, even going afterwards, like making sure any promotional posts and we're kind of ready to share stuff everywhere. Usually I'm doing the same as Tom, if there's people asking questions in groups, or if there's like a post your last podcast episode or tell us about your show. We like to jump on those just because it is one of those constant growth things that you have to be doing as a podcast host, because otherwise it's really easy to get comfortable and let things sit and just kind of be. But if you're trying to grow and you're trying to get your podcast out there in front of more people, it's really important to be aware and like doing the constant work of here's our podcast. Yes, this is who it's for. This is what we talk about. These are the results that we want people to get from listening to our show. And so, yeah, I'm pretty involved. Both of us over the years have done pretty much anything there is to do with podcasting, setting up the equipment, editing the shows. We've done the show notes before. So I would say we're both equally involved at different times in the business. It just kind of depends on when things take a shift and we have different roles that we've taken on.
Right. Okay. And so what are the parts that you do now? Like, do you do every part of the podcast process? Do you outsource some of it? Like how involved are you?
I am extremely involved right now. We did have some pieces outsourced, but then ended up, we lost somebody on our team. So now it's come back to me, and then we'll be looking for someone to re-outsource those things too. So mainly we'll be outsourcing the editing of the show and the creation of the show notes, and creation of promotional images or posts and things like that. So I will be doing the notes and setting up times to record, because we like to batch record. And, you know, making sure we have all the tags and things filled in for whoever's going to then take the show to the next step.
Right. Okay. And so how much time do you spend doing all of that kind of stuff?
I've got it down to an art for the most part. We try to, of course, you know, Tom being Tom, we try to systematize everything. Right. So we've got like an episode schedule, and we kind of like, hey, what topics are we going to be doing in this quarter and next quarter? Let's get all of those listed out so that when I go to do notes for a show before we record, I can do notes for 4, 5, 6 shows at a time. That usually takes, you know, a couple hours maybe, depending on how many shows I'm doing. Also, depending on how familiar I am with the topic we're going to talk about. Sometimes there's topics that, you know, Tom is more familiar with, so I'm either researching with him or doing my own research to kind of fill in the blanks. And then the recording itself, we've actually cut down our show time. So it used to be like 45-minute long shows, and we've cut down now to about 20 to 30 minute shows, which helps, I think, in a couple ways. It helps us record more shows at a time so we can get more shows out of a batch recording session. And then it's also helped, I think, our audience be able to consume content a little bit faster without having, like, I mean, 45 minutes is a long episode. So if you don't have a really long commute, or if you don't have tasks that you're doing throughout the day that's 45 minutes long, now you're having to piece that episode while you're listening, which I think can kind of negate some of the benefits of listening to a full episode.
Right. So you said it was down to 20 to 30 minutes now?
Yes.
Okay. And so how hard has it been to cut down on that time? Because something that I've found is like through interviewing guests and all that kind of stuff, it's hard to not let it run like an hour long, 45 minutes to an hour long.
Yeah, I think it's extremely hard, especially when you have a partner like Tom who likes to talk a lot. I think the biggest thing for us has been really, really intentional. Like, we've got to be super intentional with that show topic. What are the notes that, you know, like, what are those three main points that we want to kind of move through during the show? And then again, this is also one of those things where you can say, is this topic too big for one show? Do we split it into two separate shows and focus on different areas within? And, you know, just kind of making sure that we're, everything is kind of, we've simplified a lot. It's really easy to get complex. It's really easy to have like this big long intro that you read. It's really easy to have all of these little pieces and parts that you have to get through to the show, all the questions and, oh, well, we've got to do this at the end. We've really simplified it down. We have a 2-sentence intro. Then we have our intro in the editing that gets added in between there. The show itself, we jump right in. We have a really short bio if it's a guest. We get right into the talking points. And at the end, we've tried to keep it really short. Like, here's some actions to take after you've listened to this podcast. And then here's where you should go after the fact and end. So there's no editing. We just kind of let the conversation flow. And we're just trying to give as much value as we can, but keep it simple.
Right. And you mentioned just then about not a whole lot of editing. How intense are you with the audio editing of your show? Like, are you really insane about?
No, there is none. Okay, like, when cool. people ask us, we literally don't. The only editing that happens is like the cutting off at the beginning when we're waiting to start and it's quiet. And then the cutting off at the end after we're done and we say bye. Like, it's just literally cutting those pieces, plopping it into Camtasia. And then you have we have a template set up. So you have the intro and outro already in there. You plug in your episode and then you plug in the 2 sentences at the beginning. And that is literally all that we do. There's no editing out of ums. Occasionally we'll have a cat decide to jump on the desk. We just remove him as quietly as possible. I mean, we really try to show people like, this is life, this is business, this is everything in between. Because we've done so many shows, Tom and I are pretty good at getting through an episode without any kind of blunders. But even when we do, people appreciate it so much more when we just stop and laugh at ourselves in the middle of an episode and continue on. Because again, it's real life. We're human beings. Sometimes people screw up. That's okay. That's something people need to see, I think, to feel like it's okay for them to go and screw up and doing something. You don't have to be perfect.
Exactly. And it's a conversation as well. I found that if someone does an intense amount of editing, that it sounds unnatural. Yeah. It doesn't sound like a natural conversation because that's not how people talk.
No. And I mean, granted, yes, occasionally we have had like major issues.
Well, yeah.
There was one time we were recording upstairs in our house and the cat tried to like crawl through something and he got caught in some cords. So he took off across the living room and he took Tom's PlayStation with him. So it was like super noisy. And then the dog got in on it. So it was like crazy loud. So we just paused. And, you know, in the editing, that was one place where we left a little note, like, we should probably edit out most of the noise in there. But I mean, we left a little bit in just to say, technical difficulties, cat ran away with the PlayStation, this is life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I always keep an eye out for like really intense, like a dog barks and everyone stops talking. It's just a dog barking.
Yep.
Or something. And yeah, so I really like that you do that because I found that sometimes people are unsure about my approach, which is pretty much the exact same as your approach. But it's honestly better. People honestly appreciate that more. Even though it feels weird from a business perspective and like, you know, from producing content, like we always try to make it as polished as possible.
Yeah.
Usually that is the case, but not with podcasting.
Yeah, I think I agree with you 100%. A lot of times it is very easy to get into that comparison mode when you see other people and like their perfect videos with the perfect lighting and the perfect background and there's no mess ups or screw ups. And that looks really pretty, but I think for many of us, it's kind of unattainable. And then that means we don't start because we think we have to wait until we can have a perfect video setup and a perfect recording piece of equipment and sound has to be perfect and like all of these things. So when you wait too long for everything to be perfect, that means you never start. And if Tom and I had waited too long for things to be perfect, we probably would not have had either podcast. We might not have a book. I mean, right. There are so many things we did before we felt 100% ready. And as we're going through, you just keep assessing, like, does this still feel right? Is this still what I wanted to accomplish with this piece of content or whatever I'm doing? And if it's not, then you can reassess and you can do something else. But if it still feels like the right thing to be doing, then you keep going and you upgrade as you're ready, as your business is making money and as your brand is becoming more apparent to you. Because our brand is attached to lifestyle and to having a family, a lot of the things we do are purely to show other people that are trying to be entrepreneurs and have a family that you can do it. And people aren't going to judge you for having your kid walk in on a video or a podcast interview. We've had it happen. It's life, you know? And for us to be like, oh, we shouldn't record because the kids are home and they could walk in at any moment. Why not? It's just showing people we're human and we're parents. We have kids and sometimes they're homesick or they have a snow day and we had a day recording planned. We're not going to change everything just because our kids are homesick. Let's work around it. Let's figure out this way to integrate both life and business.
Right, exactly. That's very interesting. I love how you guys have been able to find those ways to integrate, like you said, life and business. And I love how you guys are focused on lifestyle. I think that's really interesting. So I know that I could definitely keep talking with you for hours, but when I wrap up the podcast, I'd like to ask the same question, and that is by asking for those listeners out there who are unsure about whether or not a podcast would be right for them and their business, and they're not sure about whether they should start one, what would you say to them?
I would say, as when you're making any other decision in your life or your business, the most important thing to do is look at your goals. What is it that you're trying to accomplish? And is a podcast a way for you to start taking some steps towards that goal? One of the things that, you know, Tom and I always talk to people about, because there's a lot of people out there that just want to start a podcast to start a podcast. Well, that's a lot of fun. But let's make sure you're not wasting your time and your money to start something that's not going to lead you in the direction you want to go. So when you're looking to start a podcast, if you already have a business established, let's look at how that podcast is going to enhance your business. Is it going to be getting in front of new audiences and bringing in new listeners to then lead to your other content or programs or products that you have on the business side of things? If you're just getting started and you don't have a business yet, how can you start a podcast with the intentionality of using that podcast to do market research around what business do you start? What are you going to offer services? You're going to offer products. What does that look like? Because we've met a lot of people who've started a podcast and have been able to get some really big sponsorships because they knew who their audience was. They weren't sure what product offerings they were going to have yet, but they were super solid on that audience and they got in front of those people and their show got enough listens and downloads that they could then go to sponsors and those sponsorships are paying for them to have their show and they're oftentimes making an income from some of those sponsorships. So I think it's really just, it's all about the intentionality and what is the end result you're looking for. Let's make sure that that connects with the reasons you're starting a podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you should start a podcast, you know, sooner rather than later to get things moving, and you should start it even if everything's not perfect, but yes. You do need to be intentional about why you're starting it. I agree.
Yes. Yeah. And set some goals for yourself. You know, podcasting can be a tough game to get into because it is so popular right now. So if you're going to start, just know that sometimes it can be a little slow in the beginning. Most podcasts take, you know, between 3 and 6 months to get any sort of consistent larger downloads per episode. But knowing that going in, what things are you going to do to make sure that you're hitting some of those milestones towards your goal? Let's make sure that you know, are you going to guest on other people's podcasts? Are you going to review other people's books? Are you going to bring on guests? Like, what are the strategies that you want to use as you start your podcast to grow it and to make sure it's moving in the right directions to reach your goals?
Exactly. Thank you for that. Thank you. And thank you, Ariana, very much for being willing to come on the show today.
Of course. I always love to follow up to Tom because I never know what he talks about. I'm like, I'll give people a different perspective.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success. Make sure to head over to iPodcastEdit.com to check out the show notes and get each episode of the show delivered right to your inbox. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or whichever audio service you use. If you want to continue the conversation, or you have a topic you'd like me to discuss on a future episode of the show, please don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you again for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next episode as we continue down the path to podcast success.